The Sportscast, February 25th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. Not iTunes, Apple Podcasts. And if you are an Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on our app, The Sportscast for iOS. And this episode is brought to you by the Sportscast for app for iOS. You can download it right now. The last round of the first legs of the round of 16 has finished. Champions League, one of the most watched soccer leagues in the world, maybe in America, but definitely more than the MLS. And we got Francisco Flores all the way from Oregon. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
How's it going, Santiago? Glad to be back. It's been a while, but yeah, I'm ready here to talk Champions League, Real Madrid, whatever it is, soccer.
And tell us the audience about your setup. I know there's people that are listening rather than watching, but I see a lot of Real Madrid. Tell us the story behind all that.
Yeah, if you didn't know, then the video will tell you. But if you're listening on audio, I got a big old Real Madrid banner behind me. I also have this. This is Real Madrid 2, and then I got the Real Madrid with the white Clásico Los Blancos jersey, of course. Not hiding my fandom at all.
Not at all. It's funny because I see that a lot with Real Madrid fans, especially like they will wear their jersey, what it is. And if anyone does not know, Francisco Flores has his own podcast on the. Explain to us your podcast On the Counter.
Yeah, so I co-host the show with Drew Pels, and it's a soccer podcast, American soccer podcast, where we focus on, you know, the top five leagues in Europe, and we kind of focus also on our favorite teams, which mine is Real Madrid and Drew's is Chelsea. So there's a little bit of a blend of that, but it's basically 70% Premier League. And yeah, we're everywhere on social media that you can find your favorite podcast, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, at On the Counter Pod. And at On the Counter Podcast as well on some of the Instagram as well. The handle's a little bit different.
Also, Francisco does cover Liga MX, which, believe it or not, it is one of the top most watched leagues in America. And I don't hear too many in the English podcast sports realm too much, but you definitely catch it with Francisco. Why is Liga MX bigger than the MLS?
I think just the roots of the league, you know, it's the leagues that these Spanish-speaking individuals that are now in their 20s, 25s, you know, that's the leagues that they're watching growing up with their dads, their families and whatnot, because, you know, that's what they watch it from, coming from Mexico or even, you know, any other South American countries. But yeah, we focus on Liga MX. We do a weekly podcast where we do a picks. So me and Drew basically battle out to see at the end of the season who gets the most correct picks in Liga MX, and since he's he hasn't been watching it as long as I have, so we go the Liga MX expert, which is myself, which is the Liga MX novice. And the first season we did it, he beat me, so I gotta get I'm not looking good to you for the experts of Liga MX now. So
yeah, and you know,
I'll change the title maybe.
Yeah, and now thinking about it, I mean, I could see a network like ESPN, perhaps Fox, maybe have a Liga MX games in English. I mean, that could be a moneymaker.
Yeah, I know Fox has a little bit of, I think they have Santos games. And basically, Liga MX allows the teams to work out their own TV contracts. So it's not a bundle but by the league, like in Premier League or whatever. Every team can do and whatever they want, whether they want to make an app, whether they want to sell the rights. So it all differs. But as far as English or the Spanish content, you can bundle it all together. Like, for example, on TUDN, which is like a big it's like a new sports channel that they made.
And which added. A lot of people watch that channel for the Champions League because it's free. Go ahead.
Yeah, because it's free. It comes in with your dish or whatever cable provider you have. So, yeah, that's. That was a plus for me, you know, having that Spanish content. And I liked it. I like watching the games with the Spanish commentary.
Which you brought up a good point about, like, the Mexican team selling their own rights. That's what they want to do in Europe. I hear that Man United wants to do it, Liverpool, Madrid, and obviously Also, another topic is them creating like their own super league. But do you think that will happen in Europe, where teams will decide, okay, I want Fox to air all my matches. I don't want NBCSN to do it.
Yeah, I think it was already kind of happening. They were doing, well, not in the U.S., but in the U.K., they had like the pay-per-view matches. And so they were actually being charged to watch a certain or specific match that wasn't on Sky Sports or whatever. So it was already kind of happening. And then the fans obviously did not like that. They were like, no, we want to, you can't bill us basically twice, you know, for a game. And so they stopped doing that. And they've promised, I think, January and February's games that they were all going to be on over-the-air TV. On Sky Sports or whatever. So there's a little bit of pushback on it, but I definitely think that, like you're saying, there's a lot of money there for the teams.
Yeah, and before we go on to the Champions League, because this is good, because you know a lot, the Europe Super League, do you think that eventually will happen?
Ooh, I think there's a bigger chance, there's a higher chance than what the fans want, than the true, you know, original soccer fans or whatever you want to call them. The soccer snobs, you know, I don't think they want that. But to be honest, I think Drew made a big good point that was like, Bayern going up against, you know, whatever bottom half team is in Bundesliga right now. Like, do you really want to be watching that, you know, week in, week out? Like, you want to be watching Bayern versus Madrid. You want to be watching Chelsea versus Atletico. You want to be watching Barcelona versus, you know, Real Madrid, whoever. I think there's a lot of going to be a lot of power behind that statement once, you know, people realize like, well, actually, if it's the money that's going to be driving it, well, then people want to see the big clubs. You know, they don't want to see the little guys. I think maybe there's potential for them to create their own leagues and then, you know, people can watch those. But I think, yeah, there's a lot of power behind that, the Super League.
Yeah, and the Super League, what Francisco and I are referencing is having the top clubs or whoever has the money to join that league to play against each other. We're talking about Man United, Man City versus Madrid. It's like a 20-team league, and I guess they want to compete against the NFL. That's pretty much what they're trying to do. Or it could be 32 because NFL has 32 teams, so why not make the Super League 32 teams? And whoever can afford it, right?
Whoever can afford it, yep, that's what it comes down to.
That could be a lot. And we could see a team like Leicester in that league.
Why not?
Anyways... Yesterday, Madrid played. There were only two matches yesterday for Wednesday, and it was Madrid defeating Atlanta. And Atlanta had was playing with only 10 men in the match. And at the end, Mendy scored at the 86th minute. It was kind of a very last-minute goal. People thought it would be a draw. But Francisco, tell us your recap on that match.
I saw the lineup. It was a little worried not having a striker. We had Isco basically playing a number nine, and you know, we've been lacking the goals from our wingers like Vinicius, Asensio, those guys. And so I was, you know, hoping for the best in this game, a 0-0, you know, draw, not getting scored on and not getting the away goal or giving away a goal. And yeah, like I said, Lucas Vazquez starting in the defense. I really despise that. I hate that move. He doesn't know how to defend. So, you know, I'm going to be critical of everything because I think that's how we should treat the team, you know. And it may sound like I'm a Debbie Downer or whatever, even though we won, you know. But there's just high expectations, you know what I mean? Like, and then going down a man, you know, going up against an opponent without – one man less for over 60 minutes, you know, a goal was expected way earlier than what came through. And so I'm just glad we got the game, the goal. And I was pretty happy about the result in the end. And if you look at the stats, it was pretty much a dominant performance from Real Madrid's side. So that's what I'm saying. It should have been 3 or 4-0.
Tell us about the lineup. Tell us who was missing. And do you think this is workable for the second leg?
Yeah, so there was a ton of injuries, starting with Benzema. Like I said, we didn't have a striker. Mariano Diaz was on the bench, but he didn't come on until later on. Sergio Ramos is out. Hazard, Rodrigo, Marcelo, Militao, Carvajal and Valverde. So that's a pretty big list of top quality starting 11 players, not bench players. Like, these are guys that are on the starting lineup. And yeah, especially, you know, Carvajal, because I think in that position at right back, you know, it's really essential to the team and how the team, you know, works. Both of the fullbacks, Mendy as well. I think he's won over all the Madrid fans. He deserves the starting spot over Marcelo. I think it's, you know, time to phase him out.
Oh, wow.
You know, I think I've been saying this for since last year, you know, since he had that dip in performance. I just think that, you know, when it comes to I mean, it's kind of happening right now with Ramos, but, you know, when these players with a certain status at the team, you know, when it comes time to their contract ending, you know, it's going to be a hard time, you know, whether they're going to stay or they're going to leave. And it's up to the players, you know, ultimately. But I think that the team has shown that no one is above the team, right? When Ronaldo asked to leave, you know, we lowered his buyout clause. It was $1 billion and it was lowered to $100 million so that he could ask to leave. And so, you know, I think that he should just, if he wants to stay around, I think that would be great. Teach the older guys, you know, he's been the club captain before, and he's always been a great leader. And so, yeah, Madrid was running pretty thin on the bench as well. We had some new young talent coming up. A lot of new guys, actually. Miguel Gutierrez, we had Altuve, Chus, Blanco, Sergio Ribas. These are all 19, 20-year-olds, you know, Spanish guys that are going to be coming up and through. So keep a lookout for those. So it was nice to see, you know, some fresh faces as well.
What have you heard about those rumors about Ramos going to Man City? Do you think that's very true, or do you think it's just another rumor mill?
Well, I think the rumors about him looking for other options, I think, are true. As far as what team he's going to go to, I couldn't tell you. I don't want him to leave, obviously. So, but where the money's at right now is PSG. They've got a lot of power, especially with, you know, the talks of also maybe even getting Messi, you know, because Messi's definitely going to be looking for a team. I think there's no way he's staying.
Man City, right?
He's out. Yeah, he's probably going to go to City. And so, yeah, I don't want him to leave. I think Ramos should stay. But he was given, you know, the same treatment as every other player who's above 30. You know, get a one contract year renewal. And if he didn't like that because of the status he has a club, I mean, I think the team is – we're going to have to pick the team over the player. You know, if he was offered a take it or leave it basically situation with the contract. There's no negotiating. This is what we have because of COVID and everything else that has played the way that it has, you know. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping it stays though.
The Chelsea way, 1 year contract for 30 plus.
Yeah.
The next match against Atalanta will be March 16th for these second leg. Francisco, what do you expect? Do you expect some more players being available for that match?
Yes, that is what I am expecting. At least if we get Benzema back, that should be, I think, fine enough to where we can probably get a goal early enough and just kind of defend and wait the rest of the game out. I don't think there's no need to risk it in the next game and go all out attack. I think just take advantage of the one away goal that we got, and I think that's that should be fine.
And Madrid will and like that match will be at the Bernabeu in Madrid with no fans, because it's funny because like these games have been airing with no crowd noise. They're just doing directly what's been heard yeah. in the stadiums. It's kind of weird, but
yeah, it's a little weird.
Anyways, they're no Premier League. They want to be different. The next match yesterday was Man City beating Gladbach 2-0. First leg, goal by Bernardo Silva and another by Gabriel Jesus. Good performance, nothing to brag about. What were your thoughts?
Yep, exactly. Nothing to brag about. Man City winning in the classic Man City way and just dominating another opponent on the way to a 19-game winning streak now in all competitions. So City are flying high right now. They are on the riding the confidence, and you know, I think that's with no striker as well, which is, you know, should be a really high confidence booster. Everybody that they've asked to play in the false nine position or striker, whatever you want to call it, has come through the season. Gundogan, who has scored a lot, Sterling, you know, whoever, they rotate, you know, so much with those front three. Something that has worked well for Pep over, you know, 3 or 4 years now at City. So Jesus was in this game. He came back and playing, starting up top. And so that always gives them a different look. I feel like Aguero even got some time in this game. So maybe, you know, there's a bit of goal boost coming from Aguero as well. Not that they need more goals because, you know, like I said, 19-game winning streak. They have been dominating everybody on the way. So De Bruyne, of course, was also out. So there's also a lot of potential there for even more.
Even more action. Now, with this winning streak and things going well with them in the Premier League, is this the moment that Pep and Man City will win the Champions League this year?
Well, that was my prediction at the beginning of the season, and I think that's the way it's heading right now. Every other team has basically been tripping on the way up to the first place. Spurs was up there, and now look at them. They're way down in sixth or seventh, maybe even
eighth, I think. Yeah, Tottenham's eighth. Crazy.
Out of the top six. So I think the teams that were going to make a run for it had their chance, and it's now just up to City not to trip up and fall.
And obviously the game is going to go back to Manchester. Does Gladbach have a chance, or you think Man City is going to, I mean, seal it at home?
Yeah, I don't think they have a chance. Not with what they showed in this game. I like the way that Mönchengladbach play, and I like Alessandro Plea and their other striker, what's his name, Marcus Thuram. And yeah, I really like those guys. So I was expecting a little bit more of a competitive match, but yeah, I think from what I saw, this City team, if they get, you know, one player, De Bruyne or whoever back, like they're just gonna dominate again.
Second leg is until March 16th, mid-March, so there's plenty of time. Maybe bring De Bruyne back for that match. On Tuesday, Chelsea beat Atletico 1-0. Giroud, 68th minute goal. This Chelsea team is looking better. What were your thoughts over that match? I mean, Atletico was huge.
Yeah, big win for Chelsea. Huge win. This Atletico team that has just been dominating in La Liga. And recently their form has been dipping, and you know, now it's only a 3-point lead with one game in hand. They did have like a 9-point lead with two or three games in hand at one point. So maybe a little bit of a roller coaster ride going down a little bit for Atletico. Luis Suarez has now been not scoring, I think, in two or three games now. Their top scorer in La Liga. But yeah, I think Chelsea did well to not let Atletico get into your head, which is, I think, what they were trying to do this whole game. They were just like, we're just going to try to bully Chelsea, and Chelsea were not letting them do that. You know, there was a lot of game stoppage with fouls and whatnot from Atletico's side. You know, that's their style. You know, they're going to stop they're going to do whatever to stop you from attacking, whether it's a foul to stop the flow of the game. If, you know, if you've got the flow going, that's what they do, and I think Chelsea did well to combat that, and keeping Tuchel's record perfect at Chelsea, no losses as of right now.
And, of course, Atletico is top in the Liga. Can they bounce back in London?
I think if they can find a way back into the game, you know, with the – I don't see them – I guess maybe they could change formations, go into the diamond formation that they've tried before with the 4-3-1-2. But I think they're probably going to go three back again. It's been their most popular formation. And I think if you match Chelsea 3-4-3 back with the explosiveness of Timo Werner and being able to add Tammy or Giroud or whoever they need, I think Atletico are kind of what do you call that? They're kind of not taking their opponent to the same level, right? But they see them, I guess, less or not as good as a team as them. And I think that's going to be bad in the end. So I'm more hopeful for Chelsea now than I was for Atletico after this match.
New manager Tuchel. How has he how has he impressed his first couple weeks? Do you think he is the man there?
I think he's shown that he has a better understanding of what the players want on the field. There's been a lot of rotation. There's been a lot of like things that are, I guess, doubtful of him. His choices, like bringing in Cullum Hudson-Odoi in the last game and then subbing him off in the same half. You know, like that doesn't. Not only does it not reflect well on the player, like I feel like that kind of reflects bad also on the manager when he's willing to do that, when, you know, it's been talked about as one of the worst things that you could do to a player, you know, as far as soccer is concerned. And so, yeah, I think overall, though, you can't, you know, question the record, you know, what he's been winning. And I think, you know, give him more time and he eventually find a better and a starting 11. I think that would work for him.
And Pulisic, you think he'll, you know, try to break into the starting 11, or do you think he's good as a super sub or something like that?
Oh, well, that's a good question. if you ask Drew, he's going to say, why is he not starting every game? But I think, yeah, if he's going to want to be in the starting 11, he's going to have to fight and win his spot. It's going to be super hard. But I definitely think that there's a potential there, especially with Timo Werner. You know, he plays off of that left side, but if they switch back, you know, to a 4-2-3-1 or whatever, playing with wingers, then maybe Pulisic could find his way into the starting 11 that way. But I don't see Tuchel doing that. I think he's going to stick with this three back. So it's going to be super hard for Pulisic to find his way into the starting 11.
And keep in mind, they have been together before with Dortmund, and back then Tuchel didn't really play him much either. So this is nothing.
He also played him on the right side.
Correct.
As well.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that Pulisic should leave Chelsea, but I'm saying that he just has to work harder, you know.
Yep. Exactly.
Because leaving is difficult.
He's got to bust out that shield, that Captain America shield.
You know, it's interesting because my dad was asking me about Chelsea, and he was asking me if there's any Latin American player that plays there. No, there isn't.
Yeah, nope.
And like right Willian was like the last one, so that now he's with Arsenal, which he's doing okay, but you know, he's old.
He's old. Yeah.
Anyways, last match, Bayern Munich, 4-1 against Lazio, 4-1. What were your thoughts over that game?
Well, I think Lazio thought they had a chance against Bayern, but quickly realized that they did not even went as far as to giving them a goal. The first goal was an own goal. Or not an own goal, but it was a back pass to the goalie that created the goal. It was a big mistake. And Bayern don't need any help scoring, especially from the other team. And Bayern just dominated, and classic Bayern style. Lewandowski, how do you stop him? You can't. They were even starting a 17-year-old English guy named who is it? Musiala.
Yes. Musiala. Which he scored at 24th minute.
Yeah, he also scored. So it's always good to see young talent. I'm always, you know, interested in that, seeing the next incoming, you know, players, and so. That was good. Leroy Sané and Kingsley Coman, of course, all that speed. Yeah, there's nothing that Lazio had to stop these guys. That back line was probably struggling the whole game because these guys are fast.
You still there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That is it for the first legs of the Champions League. Let's go into predictions. I know we have a few weeks to think about it, but as of right now, let's see what Francisco thinks. The next round is on March 9th. Let's go for Borussia Dortmund versus Sevilla. Francisco, what are your thoughts over that match?
Well, I think it's going to be a complicated match for Dortmund. Sevilla, the Europa League undisputed champions of all time. they're a very quiet team, you know, like they're under the radar, you know, you don't really hear a lot about when they do are able to outbeat or beat a bigger opponent than them. So I think Dortmund have to do their research, you know, and really study Sevilla and how they play, because it's going to be a complicated match. So I think I can let's see. First score was 3-2. So yeah, Sevilla definitely still have, you know, possibilities in there. The only thing that's bad is the three away goals which Dortmund got. So Sevilla have to outright beat them on goals. So you have to go 2-0 at least. Do I see them doing that? I don't think so. I think with the attacking power of Sancho and Haaland, they'll probably score first before Sevilla does.
Juventus Porto. The last match was Porto beat Juventus 2-1. Kind of surprising, but your boy Ronaldo. What's going to happen there?
Yep, I fully expect Ronaldo effect to come into play here. This is what needs to happen. Ronaldo needs to come in, score a hat trick, get it over with, and take Juventus to the next round. Porto did well in that first match to break down Juventus. They looked lost. They didn't look like they had ever played together. So I think Porto are complicated. They're not easy. So, I think they know and they understand that they're going to go through Ronaldo. So that's another big thing. They also have Pepe, if you remember Pepe from he used to play at Madrid. And so he's a little bit old, but hey, he's still got it on there defensively. You know, you don't need to be that fast to be a good defender or a good center back. I still think Juventus is Ronaldo. Somehow he's going to do it.
Ronaldo, the GOAT. March 10th, Liverpool, RB Leipzig. Liverpool is up 2-0 in aggregate. Will Liverpool seal the deal? Maybe Liverpool's plan this season is to win the Champions League and not the Premier League.
Yeah, it looks like it, right? Because sixth place now in Premier League.
And falling.
And so I think it was very surprising to see Liverpool, I think, win 2-0 and dominate in the way that they did against Leipzig. I think the way that Leipzig play, you know, that fast attacking style and counterattacking and whatnot, I think that there was more potential for that. Or I think the fans and the people thought that there was going to be more potential there. So, yeah, at home, I guess that doesn't really matter. It's going to be a close one. I don't think if the Liverpool already did it in that fashion, I think they should have no problem just holding off that 2-0 lead. And even if they do get scored on, I don't think it'll be more than a goal, and they should be able to do it.
Let's go Reds. Lastly, PSG 4-1 against the Catalan Giants. Francisco, can Barcelona come back, even though it's deep?
These two opponents have a long history in Champions League, especially with comebacks. If anybody remembers that big comeback that Barcelona made on PSG a couple years ago. So that's what this game is, you know, giving people vibes of, you know, a little deja vu. That team, I don't think is anywhere, not even comparable, that Barcelona team, to this one. So what they did was pretty amazing, and I don't think they have it in them. I think Barcelona can get close, but you know, with Mbappe, with the attacking power that PSG have, I don't think not this time.
And there you have it. That is our predictions for the next round of the Champions League, all the way till March 9th. So we'll definitely, things are kind of winding down, and we'll see some big ones fall and new ones rise. So we'll definitely see in a couple of weeks. Poll question of the day, Francisco, in the sportscast. What goes best on top of toast? Butter, Nutella, peanut butter, or avocado?
If it's just, you know, no paying no attention to diets or anything, I would go with the Nutella.
Nutella. Which is actually my first choice as well.
Just the classic, you know, spread it on there, boom, in the morning. Heck, even for lunch, why not have some Nutella?
Hey, if that's hazelnut, it's probably healthy. And mantequilla butter is winning at 58%. Peanut butter is winning at second, 23%. Avocado's third, and Nutella's last.
Oh, Nutella's last. Ooh.
It's not the madness, Francisco.
Beating it. Okay.
What's going on there, Francisco?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess they just they're not they just don't know. They don't know about the Nutella. They don't know how good it is.
Exactly. That's what, which is what Ronaldo's probably having every day.
Some Nutella. That's probably all he eats.
In
He's like, I'm on a
Italy.
Nutella diet.
By
If
the
you want to get a
way,
six pack like me, you eat Nutella.
exactly. By the way, were you able to see that Instagram post he did that Nike gave him some Air Force Ones for his birthday?
No, I don't think I saw that one actually.
Looks really nice. Like they engraved his logo and they put like the Nike swoosh in gold and black. It was a cool video, but obviously, he deserves it with Nike.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's made them a lot of money.
Exactly. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online and also more about your podcast on the counter?
Yeah, so the best way to reach me is on Twitter. It is at Francisco BCP. And then for my podcast, you can reach us at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at On the Counter Podcast. But the best way for you to reach the podcast is on YouTube at On the Counter Podcast. So reach just look on there, YouTube, and yeah, follow us and share, subscribe with everybody that you know, soccer fans. And like I said, you guys just got a little taste of what the pod is like. We like to laugh, but also talk, the facts and give us our opinions and analysis.
And not being politically correct as well.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
also tell us about your contest. I know that you guys are having a contest for your podcast.
Yeah, so we're doing a giveaway once we reach 500 subscribers on YouTube. So we are getting pretty close. We're about 360 somewhere around there. So we got a little bit to go, and it's a secret prize, but it'll be worth it. I'm telling you,
Is
it'll be
it
worth
the Ronaldo Air Force One shoes?
it. Maybe, maybe. You have to subscribe to find out.
You go. And you can reach us at the Sportscast One on Twitter or the sportscast.net our website. Tonight, Victor Rocho and Jersey Boys Sports Talk are live tonight. They'll be talking NBA and some NFL news, a lot going on with now we know that Deshaun Watson still says no, he doesn't want to stay in Houston. Maybe he wants to go to Las Vegas. No, I'm just kidding. Or maybe to Philadelphia. We'll find out. Anyways, Francisco, it's a pleasure in having you. I think you're still saying Man City is going to win. I think it's going to be Man City PSG final, but of course the lottery, if it makes it happen,
Yeah.
Anyways. Francisco, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me. Till next time.